How much money will come to order? Let the record show that SC 511, SC 590, and SC 513. We'll take up SC 611 first. Senator Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 611 is a more or less a cleanup. We're increasing the penalties for reckless operations in aircraft. It makes it a Class A misdemeanor. It puts it in the same category as operating a motor vehicle under the influence of a toxic liquor or other habit-forming drugs. It also has a lesser fine for the violation of the regulation. And it outlines a Class B misdemeanor rather than the punishment of a fine not more than 500 or by imprisonment for not more than 6 months or by both. This came to me from a district court judge wherein he had a problem with two. I think I had provided the committee with the
letter in the file.
Is there any questions that I can answer? Anyone have to?
Karen Kim.
Since the way neither in this bill nor the former bill that you're trying to correct, do I see any leeway for instances? For instance, I'd like to know how this would affect 99ers and their program, for instance. There's a little difference between continuing to drive a car or something after somebody has a heart attack, but if there's, for instance, a major heart attack while they're in the air, is there any leeway or forgiveness, or is it mandatory then that someone who takes that wheel without being, or that stick without being licensed, would be opening themselves to a penalty if they live long enough to tell about it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Faircap, no, this has nothing to do with that. I don't believe that would be considered a reckless operation of an aircraft. I think that would be more or less come under the an emergency existence and under whatever assistance, if they were in communications, radio communications with a control tower or something. But if they were just off on their own, I don't think this would have anything to do with that. The only possible way that it could have is if somebody would complain and say that there would be, if they weren't licensed to pilot an aircraft, and there was something in the existing statutes or regulations, but that would be, I think that common sense would prevail more or less, and it wouldn't be a basis for a civil suit, for a criminal charge. It might be for a civil suit, but insurance or something like that, but as far as civil or criminal attitude, I don't believe that would exist. I would defer, of course, to my esteemed colleague, Mr. Chan. He could probably.
Well, I think he can.
I don't think
that
he might help. You're doing good.
See, the point I'm trying to get at, though, you know, we sometimes have oversight of law enforcement or neglect or whatever, the run the whole gauntlet, but it disturbed me a little as I read it, in that even though we use the term reckless operation of the aircraft, it does, it's given a penalty to the point that I'm sure everybody took a chance on it, but I just wonder if there could be some leeway given.
Some question or some delay to the chair. Actually, Senator, all you're doing is beefing up the penalty. You don't really radically modify the penalty at all.
Well, I haven't been aware of that, the law, and I think I prefaced that statement by, in the present law or in the amending. Sometimes as we get into an amendment that needs, we find others that might be touched upon.
I send a defense form, couldn't imagine under an emergency situation like that, anything starting to be brought in, somebody, if it did happen, you know, just, I'm up
maybe
there with
no issue, don't crash it.
Yeah, I would guess so.
I I didn't think it hurt for the end of discussion and on the case.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I think I understand the senator's concern in the last paragraph. Talked about the chairman license required, and that's probably that's what they have an interest to. And I don't think that under the existing circumstances in an emergency that somebody would say, well, I'm going to throw that guy in jail because he tried to land the plane with somebody had a heart attack. I just don't anticipate that. Possibly stranger things have happened in a civil suit, but I mean, these are all criminal penalties, and such that would have no bearing on civil matters.
Mr. Chairman, my
person
being on the record will clarify.
Big enough and the feeling that the principals put in there with the idea of building a fund up so it's self-supporting and not have to keep coming back for appropriations if needed all the time. But the interest income, which can amount to fund the state of millions of dollars a month, is bypassing the appropriation control of the legislature. And so there seems to be I think it deserves a good hard look at whether that shouldn't flow back into the general fund and then new appropriations as needed. Do you have any difficulty with that philosophy?
Well, I suppose I do from the point of view of a board member on AHSC. In a sense right now, the interest income offsets the effect of inflation on principal amount.
Well, when we're talking about appointment, and this would be talking about the total amount coming back, I would assume we'd be talking about whether the cost is coming back then in the revolving loan fund. You wouldn't be lending that out at a point or a point and a half.
Oh, no. No, but you see, if you have inflation at 9% or something like that, even though you are lending at 10 or 11% or whatever you might be lending at, most of the interest you're receiving, in fact, is going to be considered the buying power of the principal amount. If it goes into the general fund, in effect, that's disappropriating the buying power of the original endowment for the corporation. Also,
I have absolutely no problem with that, with Andy saying that, but I would ask the commissioner if he would set fire that effect on the same as the mining loan fund, in which I feel exactly the same way, and it was deleted from the bill. Because of the census, it's the growing deal on this, and if we do really want to establish a revolving loan fund, we don't have to go back to the money and all the time. I think it's wise to leave it. But we're going to do the first one, revolving loan fund, and it should be on all. We're going to do it on, not do it on one, and it should be on all. That's the point that I'm making.
One other point about why it would be, in the case of the Last House and Finance Corporation, why you'd want to keep the emphasis. I just think that since this is an agency that has contact with the bond market, the notion that income that ordinarily would be paid back to the agency goes into the general fund unless the legislature returns it to the agency is going to cause the rating agencies and Wall Street, the investors, to underestimate the true credit strength of AHSC. They're going to get hung up on that feature and not understand that it only is talking about this type of loan fund. We'll go back there and explain it to them, but people will nevertheless be able to lift the thing out of context if they're concerned.
I think it's an issue that we're more looking into it and do the same thing. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Senate Bill 513. Mr. Harry Treasurer, is that right? Chairman, my name is Harry Treasurer. I'm the Director of Occupational Licensing under the Department of Commerce. The piece of legislation on Senate Bill 513 is the moving of the Athletic Commission from the Governor's Office under Occupational Licensing in the Department of Commerce.
I understand that's where it's located in the previous title at this time.
Yes, sir.
Any questions?
I did not have options to be accepted to this. I'd like to make somebody say a strong opposition on their part. Is this being done? Can this be done?
No, ma'am. Thank you. Susan, you want to testify on this?
I'm Susan Clark, and I'm representing the National Association of University Games. AUW would like to see this bill amended, perhaps include the appointment, in the appointment of commissioners, the stipulation that at least one of the four commissioners be a woman. Alaska's high among other states in terms of the number of high school girls, the percent of high school interscholastic athletes who are female, and that was 38% in 1979. And with our new state laws prohibiting discrimination in education, especially in sports, we're likely to see that rise. So that Alaska women are interested and knowledgeable and full participants in athletics across the state, but decision-making at every level of sport has been overly weighted towards men's athletics. AUW is firmly committed to supporting leadership roles for women in decision-making positions and feel that adding the words online to this team, at least one member shall be female, would be important to preventing a potential problem on this mission.
In my experience, even if an appointment with the governor's office, I know there's been several times that I've called up there in regard to an opening or an appointment on a committee, and I've been told emphatically that this is criticized for a growl.
This administration has been really excellent in getting them, and I understand that about 50% of the appointments have been women, but it's not to say that the next administration, someone down the line, might be as receptive to doing that. Thank you.
Well, the thing, I think the concern is valid, but, you know, we're one of those persons, maybe so inclined, another may not. And I think our fear of it being limited one is a real fear, so maybe 11 and 10, something that could work first with better service. But I do think that there are very valid fears like that.
And we'll proceed next.
Yeah. Is that anything, Coach?
Yep. Yeah.